You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Hello, Liberty Grace. It is good to see you all here. A little unfortunate that we're not able to be together in the park, but good that we still have Zoom and are still able to meet together. A little silver lining for me, actually, a little bit before we started meeting in the parks, I had got a new mic so that I could, my sound would be a little bit better when I preached. And the week that I got the new mic, we started meeting in the park again. So this is the first time I get to use my preaching mic for actual preaching. So that's a little silver lining that I'm going with today. But here's something that you may or you may not know about me. And that's that one of the things that I hate most in the world, one of the things that stresses me out more than just about anything else, is uncertainty and change. Now, I'm a very ordered person. I like plans. I like knowing what the plan is, and I like sticking to that plan. I don't like when things are really up in the air. And I don't like when plans change. It stresses me out so much. And if only the world actually worked that way. It's needless to say that that's not actually the way that our world works. Our world very quickly can change. And I think this past year has really shown that. I don't think, or at least I think most of us are pretty tired of hearing about all the uncertainty and all the change that has been brought into the world by COVID, by this pandemic. But I remember back to the very first couple of weeks when COVID was just starting to come to Canada, and we were getting so much information all at once about what this pandemic was and what it meant for us. And it felt like every minute there was new information. And then as soon as you sort of had processed that and adjusted to that information, well, now there was something new that sort of canceled that out, and you had to figure out something new. Everything was just so constantly changing. There was no certainty at all. Like it was like a situation tailor-made to stress me out. And in the midst of all of that uncertainty in the world, there was Elaine and I trying to sort of plan our wedding and plan our life together. We were trying to figure out where we were going to live, where we were going to work, what life was going to look like. And I have to tell you, it is really difficult to make plans like that in the middle of a pandemic, because you can't rely on the state of the world. You can't rely on how things are. Everything can change so, so quickly. I think even just of our wedding, over the course of the summer, it went through like five different versions based on the different sets of restrictions that had been released. And the wedding that we actually ended up having was planned just a couple weeks before, as restrictions changed again. And a really big shout out to Elaine and her mom for pulling that off. We had a beautiful wedding, a beautiful day. But it really is hard to live without that certainty. You know, so many times during that season, I would talk to my family and say, I just want some measure of consistency. I want things in the world to stay the same just long enough that I can get my feet under me. I just want things to stay the way they are for just a minute. And there's so many different times that life feels like that. Even if we're not in a pandemic, we just want some sort of certainty, some sort of security in what's coming next. During this series, we've talked a lot about how this journey of life that we're on can be really difficult. It's full of a lot of twists and turns. It's full of a lot of ups and downs. But this journey is also a long one. You know, life can be really long. And as we look down the road, we want some kind of certainty about how life is going to go and where things are going. You know, we want to know that everything is going to turn out all right in the end. And that's especially true when we're facing really difficult seasons, really difficult times in life. We want to know that eventually there's going to be some end to that, and we're going to have some kind of relief. And that's something that we talked about a little bit last week, looking at Psalm 124, this idea of having assurance of victory and resting in God's faithfulness for our future. And now today, as we continue, we're looking at Psalm 125, we're really continuing that conversation of looking at God's faithfulness for our future. And what this psalm really does is it calls us to continue to trust in the security and the certainty that we have in God, even in the midst of really uncertain times where that security seems so difficult to see. Because, you know, in the midst of a really trying journey, in the end, we won't be overcome by the world around us if we are willing to trust in the eternal security that God promises to us. So as we begin to look at this psalm, the first two verses of this passage really provide us with such a great promise, that promise of lasting security in the Lord. Verse 1 begins saying this, that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved and abides forever. And so the psalm begins with this incredibly powerful image comparing us to this abiding mountain. You know, when I think of mountains, I think of these great formations, a symbol of strength and consistency and endurance. You know, mountains don't change. They don't move. They are fully secure. And personally, I absolutely love mountains. I've always wanted to go and visit pretty much anywhere that there's really cool mountains. That's where I want to be. So I absolutely love this image comparing us to this great mountain. And it's actually a little bit of a different image used to describe us than we've seen throughout the rest of the Psalms of Ascent. You know, we've been described as servants. We've been described as victims of a flood. We've been described as little birds caught in a trap. But here, Psalm 125 compares us to these mountains that abide forever. And that actually, that feels good that we're finally in the Psalms, we're connected with this idea of strength and security rather than this weakness and vulnerability we've seen in a lot of these other images. Because, you know, that's really what we want, isn't it? You know, we want to have that security and strength, and we want to be able to face whatever it is that life throws at us. That's what we want, and that's what we see in this image. And so we really like it. But it is so important when we look at that image to understand where that strength comes from and why it is we're being described that way in this psalm. And to do that, we have to look at the very first words that says, those who trust in the Lord. You know, in my notes, I have those words, they're bold, they're in italics, they're underlined, the whole nine yards, because if we miss those first words, we're going to completely misunderstand the message of this psalm. That security, that strength that comes from being compared to these mountains, that doesn't and that can't come from you and me. Rather, that comes from the one that we're trusting in. Because on our own, we are weak. But when we place our trust in God, we're not facing this world on our own. We're not facing these difficult situations on our own. And when we put our trust in God, we're given this amazing promise of lasting security in Him, that we will be like this immovable mountain, that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. God promises that security to those who trust in Him. You know, Psalm 124 last week said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, without Him, we would have been washed away by this flood. We would have been like a helpless bird caught in a trap. But here in this psalm, we see what happens when God is on our side. When we trust Him, we are like a mountain that abides forever. And so verse 2, then it continues that promise, changing the focus from us, now looking at God, showing even more of how He is that true source of strength and security. And it says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore. Now, this second verse, it gives us such a wonderful description of God and the protection that He gives to those who trust in Him as the mountains surround Jerusalem. And again, this is such a powerful image describing the protection that God gives. And if you thought you and I were sort of in a good spot being compared to a mountain, God is an entire mountain range surrounding us and protecting us. You know, God doesn't just give us strength and security when we put our trust in him. He is our strength and security. And he promises that he will be the one to protect us from this time forth and forevermore. We're not the ones protecting ourselves. He is the one surrounding us. He is the one protecting us. And that promise, that promise of security in him, that's not a new thing. That's not something that is unique or new in this psalm. You know, the first two verses here, they're really meant to be a reminder of who God is and the faithfulness that he shows to his people. Because again, on our own, that we're weak. We're going to be washed away by the flood. We're going to get caught in the trap. But when our faith is placed in God, we're given that amazing promise of that lasting security. And so we have this reminder given to us in the first two verses of who God is and what he's promised. And then verse three, it kind of continues this same promise, but in a little bit of an interesting way. It says, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong." And this verse, it begins with a very important word. It begins with the word "for." For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest. This is meant to be emphasizing. It's meant to be adding on to the promise that's just been made in the first two verses, sort of giving assurance to the people who are reading this that what those first two verses said really is true. That those who trust in the Lord really will endure the whatever trials it is that they face. And the first part of verse three is so important to look at because it points out that the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the righteous. But you notice that verse doesn't say that the wickedness will not come. It just says that wickedness will not rest. It will not last forever. And actually, if you're looking at what this verse is saying, it's actually making pretty clear that this psalm is being written to God's people as they were facing an incredibly difficult time where they would be tempted to think that God had forgotten his promises, that God had forgotten about them. The different commentaries that I read on this passage sort of pointed to this being a psalm that was written later in Israel's history, talking about their exile. And so this is a psalm that's being written for God's people as they've been displaced from their home. They've lost their families. They've lost their culture. They've been taken captive in a foreign land where they're oppressed and discouraged. And they're wondering if God's forgotten all of the promises that he made to them. But this psalm is meant to be that encouraging reminder of the promises that God has made to his people in the midst of that devastating situation. It's assurance of the truth that the scepter of wickedness shall not rest. Even though they're experiencing the scepter of wickedness in that moment, it will not rest on God's people. And if they continue to keep their trust in him, they have that security like a mountain that abides forever, always protected by their God, even in the midst of those times. Because that security that comes from God, that is a security that will long outlast any opposition you will ever face in this world. The wickedness facing God's people will not last forever. And last week during our Q&A time, someone asked the question of how we as Christians are supposed to handle, they described it as periods of delayed expectation. You know, those moments where we feel like God's not answering our prayers or we're struggling to see his faithfulness in our life, where he is and why he's not helping us in that moment. You know, that is exactly the type of situation that this psalm is talking about. It's encouraging God's people in the midst of those moments of delayed expectation, where you're waiting for God to fulfill the promises that he's made. Because while in exile, Israel was in an incredibly difficult period of waiting for God to fulfill these promises that he's made to them, to rescue them from their captivity. And it's so important for us because really everyone of us who's given our life to Christ and committed to follow him, all of us are living right now in that period of anticipation and delayed expectations. Now, the Psalms of Ascent as a whole, they've really made no effort to hide the fact that we live in a broken and a fallen world that is full of wickedness and trials. Now, they've made no effort to hide that. It's been very clear. And as Christians, we're waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise that one day Christ will return to redeem all of creation and we'll live with him in the new heavens and the new earth. That is the promise that we are waiting for. And so for this time of waiting and anticipation for us, God has provided us with beautiful psalms like this one, reminding us that this waiting that we're experiencing now will not last forever. And it's encouraging us to keep our faith in the security that God has promised us, even when all of life around us in the world feels so uncertain. Now, this psalm, it's giving us such a profound promise and an encouragement for all of Christ's followers to continue to trust in our God, even while we're facing that scepter of wickedness, which for a time remains on our world. And to remember his promise that if we trust him, we will be like this enduring, immovable mountain, protected by God from this time forth and forevermore. And so the second part of verse 3 really speaks a little bit more about why it's so important for us to remember, to be reminded of those promises. The first half of this psalm is really giving us that reminder, and the second half is showing us why those reminders are so important for us in those really difficult times. It says we're being reminded of this promise of security, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Now, the first two verses showed so clearly how our strength and our security comes from our trust in God rather than ourselves. And yet we are so prone to try to take things into our own hands. You know, we think if God isn't answering our prayers fast enough, or he's not fulfilling his promises fast enough, then it's our job to sort of pick up the slack. God's kind of dropped the ball, so we have to fill in the gap. It becomes our job to fix whatever's going wrong and deal with all of the wickedness that we see around us. In essence, we are weak, and our trust in God is also weak. So we need reminders like this. You know, we so easily fail to trust God when we're faced with any kind of wickedness or struggle in this world. I know that that's really true of me more often, I think, than I would like to admit. But God is so aware of our weaknesses. That is not a surprise to him. He's aware of our tendency to try to handle these things on our own, and he's aware of our tendency to abandon our trust in him. He knows our weakness, and that's exactly why he gives us psalms like this to remind us to continue to trust in him rather than trust in ourselves or anything that this world has to offer. He sees our weakness, but he is so loving and he is so merciful to give us these reminders. Now, even the fact that we have this psalm to look at and to read together today, that is a part of the protection that God has promised to us. You know, he's given us the gift of his word to encourage us and remind us of who he is in difficult times, to remind us of what he has promised to do. We have these psalms to remind us that God is our security, and that he has promised to be faithful to us. and to encourage us to continue trusting in him as our security rather than putting our trust in ourselves or anything else around us. And the last two verses, they sort of continue along those same lines of really hammering home the importance of these reminders, of reminding ourselves of God's promises. And it does that by leaving us with both a prayer and a warning. In a way, as we come to verses 4 and 5, they're sort of presenting us with a bit of a fork in the road. We're given a bit of a crossroads here with two possible responses that we can have to these promises and the struggles that we're going to face and where those two responses are going to lead us. Verse 4 gives us the first path, beginning with a prayer for God to remain faithful to the promises that he's made, where it says, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts." The first response really here when faced with the wickedness of this world is a response of trust and of prayer. Remembering God's promises and praying that he would remain faithful to those promises. This is a prayer that God would fulfill the promises of verses 1 and 2 for protection and security for those who trust in him. It's a prayer that those who trust in the Lord would be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. This is a prayer for those who trust in God that he would be their strength and would protect them in the midst of whatever difficult time they're facing. And I think this gives us a great example of how we can pray in the midst of the really difficult times that we do face in this world. You know, when we're faced with all of the challenges and all of the struggles that life throws at us, and we're tempted to look for help and security in the things of this world, remember this psalm. Take time to remind yourself of the promises that God has made. Take time to pray that God would remain faithful to those promises. Pray that he would be your security. Pray that he would surround you like the mountains surround Jerusalem. And then trust that he will do it. Trust that he will be faithful. Put your trust in him. That you serve a God who is faithful. And no matter how long the challenges last, because some of them do last a long time, but no matter how long those challenges last or how long your waiting is, he will be faithful to his promises to those who put their trust in him. That's why it's so important for us to learn to study and be familiar with the character of God, so that when we face those struggles and difficult times, we can remember who it is we're serving and put our trust in him. But endurance is really difficult in those times. And we do face that constant temptation to sort of do our own thing or look for a more immediate help or do things our own way. And that brings us to the second path, the warning that's given to us in verse 5. Because we're not forced to put our trust in God. And there are many who choose to put their trust in so many other things. But this is what verse 5 says. "But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with the evildoers." This verse shows us the somewhat uncomfortable reality that while there's so much security and protection and help for those who put their trust in God, there is also consequences for those who try to find that security in themselves or the world around them, and choose to put their trust elsewhere, believing that those things will be able to protect them and care for them better than God will. And really, the consequence there for those who turn aside and put their trust in other things is that God allows them to put their trust in other things. Things that when push comes to shove will always fail. Always. You know, this psalm, it reminds me a lot of Psalm 1 which describes those who delight in God's law and meditate on his word as a tree that prospers at the edge of a river. But on the flip side of that, it describes those who love wickedness and give into it. They're compared to chaff that blows away in the wind. And that first psalm ends with this verse. It says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." You know, God is not just the best in a long list of options, of good options for lasting and eternal security. He is the only option. Anything else that we put our trust in above God rather than him, that's an idol in our heart. And idols will always, without fail, let you down every single time. An idol will never do for you the things that that God has promised to do. That security is found only in him. And I think that that last verse, it really does give us such a picture of where every one of us would be without Christ and without the gospel. You know, without him, we're nothing more than a bunch of lost people turning aside to our own crooked ways, trying to find some kind of security, some kind of hope in life. But because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we are able to look to God and to place our trust in him and receive that lasting security that he promises. And really, that's all that he asks of us, to turn away from our own crooked ways, to turn away from our sin and place our trust in him rather than ourselves. And so if you're someone who's still in that place of putting your trust in yourself or the world for your security, I want to invite you to turn to Christ today, to recognize your need for him. And put your faith in God as your strength and your security and your protection in this world. Because everything else in this world will fail eventually, but Christ never will. And so at the end of this psalm, we have a choice of how we're going to respond to the promises that we see in this passage when we encounter the difficult times. Are we going to put our trust in God? Are we going to put our trust in the security that he promises us? Or are we going to turn aside to our own crooked ways and try to do things ourselves? Because the reality is that this world and this life will never give us the security or the certainty that we want. Whether we like it or not, life is always going to be uncertain. Life is always going to change. And there's always going to be difficult times that we're going to face. That's just the world that we live in. That's always going to be the case. And in the midst of that, we're all going to look for that security somewhere. When the world starts to go upside down and everything's changing and it feels like we have no security, we're going to look for that security somewhere. And the only question is, where are we going to look? Now, are we going to put our trust in God and his promises, or are we going to put our trust in the world? And the final words of this psalm are, again, a prayer that says, "Peace be upon Israel." Now, this is a prayer that of the two options that have just been given, that God's people would choose the right one, that they would put their trust in God as their security, and that he would remain faithful to his promises to be their security and their protection, and that the wickedness that they're facing will not last. I think my prayer for us as a church is the same, that we would see the promises that God makes in this passage and choose to put our trust in him as our strength and our security in this long and difficult journey. And no matter what comes or how uncertain things seem, in the end, he will be faithful to those who trust in him. He will be faithful to be our strength, to be our security, and to be our protection. Now, as I end, I just want to leave you with something that I said at the beginning, that in the midst of this trying journey, In the end, we won't be overcome by the world around us if we are willing to trust the eternal security that God promises to us. God, I thank you for these promises. Lord, I thank you for what you have promised to do for us, what you have promised to be for us. Lord, that without you, we are so weak and we are so vulnerable in this world. But Lord, when we put our trust in you, you make us like Mount Zion, which abides forever. God, I thank you for Psalms like this that remind us of those promises. And Lord, I pray that as we face difficult times, you would bring these passages to mind. And Lord, that you would fulfill these promises to remain faithful to us. God, that you would remain faithful and continue to protect us in the midst of such an uncertain world. And Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done for us in Christ, that through his sacrifice, we are able to look to you as our strength and our security. Lord, you are such a great God. We pray that you would remain faithful to your promises. We pray this in your name. Amen.